suggested that once a month I would be here in Yeshiva, I share in English. I was very happy because this is really part of my vision that the Yeshiva would be Migdal Or to the surrounding, and therefore I'm really very, very happy for this evening, and I hope that it really will be once a month. I'm very happy to join it with Yeshiva University. I hope that Rabbi Shachter will come and other Rabbanim will come. We'll have the privilege to host them and everyone can hear Torah from them, Torah from our Rabbanim. And really this connection is very, very good and excellent idea. We have the Achikala now for 3 weeks. The people are coming from the surrounding to prepare themselves. Before Shavuot, we invited all the kids to have a day, to have an evening preparing for Matan Torah. Because I really feel that Yeshiva is not only a place for the boys. It has to be a Migdal Or to the whole surrounding, and therefore I'm very, very happy for this evening. The shiur will be for the Ilui Nishmat, grandfather of Sarah, David Meir ben Arav Shmuel, as Sarah spoke. I would like to speak, and please, we are learning together. If there are questions, please ask me in the middle. I would like to speak about the process of tshuva. Everyone knows our duty in these days is to do the process of tshuva. And the main question that we have to be bothered is what exactly we have to do. It's not enough to say the words. The words are only have to really take out what we feel. What do we have to do in that process of tshuva? And I want to explain tonight that I think that the process of tshuva is divided into two parts. First part is, what is your attitude about life? And second part, what is your attitude about mitzvot and avirot? Let's see, please, the first source. Says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, we had the privilege that we had this Shabbos afternoon, Americans and Israelis in yeshiva learning together, and Lord Gibor was handling the whole thing with a lot of chachma. And the first quotation that he brought was that Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amar Rakasufai, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha Sfarim Niftachim B'Rosh Hashanah. Three books are being opened in Rosh Hashanah. Echad Shel Reshaim Gemurim, ואחד של צדיקים גמורים ואחד של בינוניים. Always when we see a Gemara, we have first thing to ask questions. Three books are being opened in Rosh Hashanah. In one, is being registered all the tzadikim gmurim. I would like please to know what is the definition. I want to be a tzadik gmur. What does it mean? And I will ask even more than that. What is tzadik? And what is tzaddik gemur? It's not enough to be tzaddik. You have to be tzaddik gemur. Like there is kosher and mehadra. Glat. What is the glat to be a tzaddik? So what is tzaddikim gemurim? Second book, ve'echad shen resha'im gemurim. So you have a rasha, and you have a rasha gemur. What is that? Ve'echad shel benoniim. Tzaddikim gemurim, נכתבים ונחתמים לאלתר לחיים. In Rosh Hashanah, you are in the book of completely tzaddik, you are sealed that all the year you will live. Not only that you are written, but נחתמים. It being sealed that you will live for the whole year. רשעים גמורים, נכתבים ונחתמים לאלתר למיטה. If you are חס ושלום מרשע, or someone is חס ושלום מרשע, is being said that he will die this year. Benoniim tluim ve'omdim. Mirosh Hashanah ve'ad Yom Kippur. The Benoniim, nothing is being decided in Rosh Hashanah. They are being waiting till Yom Kippur. If Zachu, if they came to be a Tzaddik, then they are written in the book of the Tzaddik. If not, they are written in the book of the Rashaim. So in the beginning there are three books. In Rosh Hashanah there are three books. In Yom Kippur, the book of the Bonenu is being erased. Part are going to this book, and part are going to this book. Anyone want to ask questions on that Gemara? Yes, please.
Thank you. So what about the total Rosh Hashanah?
What about?
The total Rosh Hashanah. Complete total Rosh Hashanah, murderers.
That's Rosh Hashanah Gemur.
Right.
So they will be dying in that year.
But they live year after year after year.
What?
They live year after year after year.
Okay.
After year.
The question is that this Gemara is not reality. Reality, we see that there are Rosh Hashanah that live. In reality, we see that there are tzaddikim that die. Okay? According to this Gemara, we had to have a scholar resident of this evening instead of me, the Gaon Mivilna. I'm sure that he will do a better job. The Gaon Mivilna had to live forever. Because no question that every Rosh Hashanah was tzaddik gamur. And if he's a tzaddik gamur, he will live for another year and another year and another year. The same thing with Rambam, the same thing with Rabbi Shimon Shkab. I can mention now thousand names. But we know that tzaddikim are dying in the middle of the year, and we know that Rishayim are alive. So I have mainly two questions. Question number one, what is the definition of a tzaddik? How do I, Michael Yame, want to come to be a tzaddik? What does it mean? How do I come to be a tzaddik? What do I have to do? What is the definition of a tzaddik? Gamur, number one, because I want to live. What is a rasha? What is a beinoni? And it's against reality. Says the Rif. Mishat sefer toldot adam, katzav hakadosh baruch hu shnotav shel kol adam ve'adam. When a man is being born, Hashem decides in the day that he is born how many years he will live. This is his mission in the world. This is what he has to do. And even if he's tzaddik gamur, if Hashem decided that he will live for 80 years, when will come the year of 80, he will die. That's nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. Because every man was sent here for a mission. That mission was Hashem told him to do in X time, in X years. After that, he will die. So the Gaon Mivilna, Rabbi Shimon Shkop, the Rambam, and Aaron HaKohen, and we can take more and more names that were tzaddikim gemurim, died not because they were rishayim, but because they completed their mission. Continue the Rif and says, ובכל יום ראש השנה יעמיד במשפט כל יצורי עולמים שנקבצו שנותיהם, ואם הם צדיקים גמורים, מניחם הקדוש ברוך הוא כדי קצבת ימיהם שקצב להם. ומשלימים לו שנותיו ונכתבים לחיים. Hashem decides every year a man was born and it was decided that he will live for 8 years. When come the year 50, Hashem decides, do I give him another year to complete his job or I don't? So the judge, the books that are being decided, life and death, therefore these days are so important because life and death are being decided. The Torah says that you're saying Slichos even in Shabbat Shuvah. Ask the Beit Yosef, how can you do it? You're not allowed to say you'd given midot shel rachamim and vidui on Shabbos. Says the Beit Yosef, because if there is a war and going around surrounding a city, you are allowed to say Slichos and vidui on and to beg Hashem when there is a war. These days are like a war. Therefore you can say Slichos. We are not posting that, but only to show how these days are so special, so important. So what Hashem decides is not if we will live forever. Hashem decides if we are going to continue to do our mission and our job, or is cutting it in the middle. If we did it till now good, we continue. If we didn't do it till now good, he can decide to cut it in the middle. Therefore, the question how the Gra died, how the Rambam died, is not a question. Because they completed their mission, so they died. But the question, every year Hashem decides if to continue to give you the power to continue your mission in life or not. What happened to the Rishayim? Your question. Ve'im hem Rishayim gmurim, hem nechtamim lemita, ki lo zachu pochatim lehem. He stops it in the middle.
וכשתראה רשעים גמורים חיים,
here's the question, if you will see a Rasha, you will see a murderer that is alive,
הוא שנזדמן להם לידם איזה מצווה שמכרעת כנגד כמה אבונות וכל דעות השם.
Hashem is his own חשבון. So even if he's a Rasha, he did something good. He continued to give something good to the world. And that for Hashem is worthwhile to continue to that he will live. So that's an exception. But every year, I think we can't come to Yom Kippur if we don't understand what is being asked and what is being decided. And therefore, before I'm coming to the process of tshuva, I want to explain what is being decided and what are we being asked. And what is being decided is life and death. And not only life and death, we'll see it immediately in the source. Even if you will live, Hashem is giving you new forces to do your job. Everything is being taken away, and you're getting new tools, you're getting new ways, both spirituality and materialism, in order to continue your mission. So first question is being asked, should this man continue his mission or not? And secondly, what are the box? What are the tools that I have to give him in order that he will continue? Yes, please.
If he has one mitzvah, the Rasha, how is your Rasha going?
Sorry?
If he has a mitzvah, how is your Rasha going?
We'll come to that in a minute when we'll define what is a Rasha going. After we will define what is a Rasha going, we'll come to that question. So the first source only tells us how these days are so critical. Life and death, and not only life and death. Even if I will live, what kind of life will I have? The Gemara says that Hashem decides every year how much rain is going to be. If Am Yisrael is a nation of tzaddikim, he decides a lot of rain. If Am Yisrael are reshaim, he decides very little rain. What happened if in the middle of the year there were tzaddikim, there was a lot of rain, but in the middle of the year they come to be reshaim? What happens then? Says the Gemara, it doesn't change. They get a lot of rain. But what Hashem does, he puts it in a place where there is no need, there is no seals. He puts it in another place. He puts it in another time. So there is no benefit of that rain. What happened the opposite if there were Rashaim and there was very little rain and they came to be Tzadikim? It doesn't change. What is being changed? Only that it goes on the right place and the right time. What's the meaning of that Gemara? Explain Rav Dessler. In Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, everyone is getting a basket with all the potential of the year. Let's take a girl 30 years old, she wants to get married. It will be written in that basket if she has marriage this year or not. All the potential of the year, in all aspects, spirituality, materialism, everything, is being decided. Happiness, my parnasa, everything. So why do I have to daven every day if everything is being decided? Because it was decided in the potential, in the basket. What I'll take from that basket, I pray every day to use the right things and to take it from the potential to active. But if it's not in the potential, it won't help. So if there is a girl 30 years old, but in her basket there is no marriage, even if she will beg the whole year, she won't get married because it's not in her potential. I'm explaining a few things now. Firstly, what is being decided? And secondly, why do we pray if everything is being nechtam in Yom Kippur? We are praying because we only get it in potential, but we won't use it. That depends who you are and what you are doing and how much you are begging Hashem every day and day. So you can have health in that basket, but if you're not praying for that during the year, Refa'enu Hashem, you won't have it. If there are any questions, please ask me. Yes, please.
What is my prayer every day change the, I can't change.
No, you're not changing the potential, you're only using the potential. You're asking, I have it in my basket, now I want to use it. Now I want to get it. Yes, please.
Continuing on that question, can't we change the gzera?
Sorry?
Isn't there an inyan of changing the gzera?
No, you can't change the gzera, what is being decided. What you can change is that to take it from the potential, the activity.
And that depends on our choice.
That depends what you're doing the whole year. Therefore, you have to daven the whole year and not only in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. If you daven only in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you won't daven later, it will stay in the basket, but it won't come to you. Yes, please.
So this 30-year-old woman...
What?
This 30-year-old woman
yeah.
is praying to be married, but it's not in her basket of potentials. So no matter how much she prays, she's not going to get married.
Right.
Which is contrary to everything that we've led to believe, that prayer is answered.
No.
So prayer is useless.
No. It's written that the praying goes to another place. Because the main thing of the prayer is the connection to Hashem. The praying makes you more connected. The praying is not a kaspomat. It's not a way that you put a ticket and everything that you put in, you're taking.
I understand that.
So it's not that her davening didn't do anything. Her davening more connected her to Hashem. But because it's not in the basket, therefore, it won't be fulfilled. But it will go to another place. It will make her still closer to Hashem. And therefore, it's so important that in these days, she will really beg and ask for marriage, and she really will do tshuva, that will explain soon what has to be done, in order that it will be in her basket.
Or it could discourage her completely.
What?
All right.
But you don't know what's in there. She won't know whether.
Right. That's not the question I'm asking.
What if her
Moshe? The question I'm asking is the power of prayer. And here there's no power to the prayer. Because it's not in the potential.
Well, you don't know what's in the basket. You don't know what's in the basket.
Only Hashem knows that.
She doesn't know.
What if it's not in her basket, but it's in her Moshe's basket?
In what?
Her Moshe has her in the basket from his tefillahs.
Okay, but he won't take it to potential.
He
won't go to potential because he doesn't have. Or, I'm not going into this, but that's exactly what the Gemara discussed about Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni, the reason why you have to get engaged even in Tisha B'Av, because maybe someone else will take your color. Ask the Gemara, how can it be? 40 days before everything is being decided, so no one can take it. Says the Gemara, Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni, maybe to one it's the right and one it's not, and therefore he will marry the answer else. So I'm not going out to this sugya. But the answer is, it's his basket to be married, but if it's not in her basket, maybe he will marry someone else and not her. And that's one of the explanations of why you are getting engaged in Tisha B'Av. So we explained in the meantime, firstly what is being decided, and why we have to continue to daven the whole year, even the things were decided already from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur. Now I want to go to explain what is Tzadik Gamur, how do we come to be Tzadik Gamur, what is Rasha Gamur, and what is Beinoni. Says the Pachad Yitzchak. It's not sum of mitzvot and avirot. It's not mathematics. Beinoni is someone that has exactly the same number of mitzvot and the same number of avirot. Because if that would be the case, statistically, no one here is Beinoni. If it has to be exactly the same number. Secondly, it's something that can change every minute. I'm making one more mitzvah, I come to be a tzaddik. One more avirah, I come to be... So it will make a difference if I'm being judged 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, or 10 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't make sense, says the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Hutner. Therefore, it's certainly nothing to do with numbers. It's not a question if you have more mitzvah or you have more avirot. What is it? See, please, from line number 4. מה שהמבט החדש, the new understanding, מראה לנו, כי רוב זכויות הוא קו באופיו של אדם, והוא הקו המושרש ביחסו של אותו אדם אל הטוב ואל הרע. רובו זכויות צדיק, זו מידה בנפש. I will explain in a minute. I won't even continue to read. I'll explain now and then we continue. You know what is a tzaddik and what is a tzaddik gemur? Tzaddik gemur is someone that have clear vision about his life. Understand what is his job, understand why he was born in this world, and he had a clear understanding where he want to do and what he want to do. It doesn't mean that he always will succeed. And tzaddik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov ve'lo yechta. But he knows what his mission is. We're all here in this world to be ambassador of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And to be mekadesh shem shamayim. Im ben adam namakom et ben adam lechavero. The Zohar says that every man that was born, something was missing in the world. And he was born here to fix it. And he has to live the world when the world comes to be better than the day that he was born. Because he has to fix something in the world. So tzaddik gemur is someone understand that his life have a mission, have a job, have a quality. He's not here only to enjoy. He is here to fix, to do, to give Klal Yisrael, to be an ambassador. I remember, if I can say something personally, one of the things that changed my life. In high school, I never asked myself why I was born. And if I asked myself, I put it aside. Yeshiva never gave me an answer. I learned here in Shalavim, never gave me an answer. And they shouldn't give me an answer. I today, as a Rosh Yeshiva, don't want to give anyone an answer about that question. But I want to create an environment. And I think this is what we have to do at home. We don't have to tell our kids anything what to do. But we have to add, to create an environment around that he himself will want to ask the questions and to give answers and to go according to what he understands. Yeshiva gave me an atmosphere around that suddenly that question bothered me tremendously. What is my job, my specific job? And I changed all plans of my life after I came to the conclusion what I have to do in life. And I came to that even later than 5 years. I asked to be one more year in yeshiva because I didn't have still an answer. In the 6th year, I came to the conclusion and I changed my plans. And I'm not asking my students to change plans. Maybe they should continue in the plan if they understand that this is what they have to do. But tzaddik gemur is midah b'nefesh. It's something in the inside. Do you have clear vision that you want to be ambassador of the Kadosh Baruch? That you are here to represent him, to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, to be a role model of Ben Adam LeMakom and Ben Adam LeChavero? The father of my brother-in-law was an ambassador of Israel in Switzerland. After a few years that he was ambassador, he came back, and they made him a party on the day that he came back. And I remember his speech like today. I was invited to the far relative, because my sister and my brother-in-law arranged the party, so they invited me, invited my parents, invited me, and my wife. And I remember what he said. He said that in the beginning, it was critical, very hard for him. Because even when he didn't have any official meeting and he went to a restaurant, he doesn't know how, but all the waiters knew that he is ambassador of Israel. And every time they brought him something, they said, "Yes, ambassador, please, what do you want? Schnitzel, chicken, and so on." He said, "I don't want now. Now I want private with my wife." After a time that he got used to that, he said, "Wow, what a big thing. Even if in a restaurant I could represent Israel." And he saw it as a present, that anywhere that he goes, he's representing and being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim by representing Israel. Tzaddik gemur is someone that feels it 24 hours.
But he's ambassador of Hashem, and therefore, this is the first question that we have to ask ourselves in the process of tshuva. In order to come to be a tzaddik gamur, what is my aim in life? Do I really succeed to be ambassador of the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Do I really represent his values, represent his philosophy? I think we have to put it into ground. Imagine that someone will be elected here to be ambassador of America, of Israel in America. And he will have 40 days to prepare himself. He certainly will go very deep to the philosophy of Israel and the question that he will be asked. And he really represented in his way, in his life, in his speech, in everything. That's tzaddik gamur. Tzaddik is someone that have it, but it's not closed, it's not certain for him. He have the direction, but it's not polished yet. Tzaddik gamur is someone that have a direction, and it's polished. A lot of time I've been asked by students in the yeshiva when to start dating. I tell them that I think that yeshiva have two purposes. Purpose number one, to bring you to be a tzaddik, and then to bring you to be a tzaddik gamur. Meaning to say, to start to have a vision about life, clarity, but you still need to polish it. I suggest them not to date till they're coming to that stage of being a tzaddik. Will they have a certain vision how they want their house to look? In the process of polishing, they should date. But not in the process, I always say it's a diagram. There is a process that you bring yourself like this with a big angle, and then slowly you're polishing it. In that time, from tzaddik to tzaddik gamur, get married. That your wife will have the zchut that she has a tzaddik in her house. But don't get married before you have a vision, before you come to be tzaddik, not gamur, but tzaddik. When you have, if you're miserable, you don't know who you are, that's, don't get married. What is a beinoni? A beinoni is someone that is being torn. One day he has a vision, and one day he doesn't have a vision. I got a phone a year ago from a boy, and he told me something that was very scary to me. He said that when he dates, when he's in yeshiva, he's speaking one way, and he has these ideas about life, and if he's dating in Ben Hazmanim, when he's in vacation, he speaks differently at all. And he told his matchmakers to date that he only will date when he's in yeshiva, not when he's in vacation. Because he feels that when he's in vacation, he's not himself. And he wanted to hear my opinion. I told him, I have a few news for you. Firstly, you are Beinoni. And I wonder if the girl will know it. Secondly, I advise you not to date even if you are in yeshiva. Because life is going to be like Ben Hazmanim. Life is not going to be like yeshiva. And if you feel that you don't have it yet, if every day you think differently, or not every day, but the environment causes you to think differently, that's exactly what is a beinoni is. Look, please, in Rav Huttner. Please, if I'm allowed, four lines from the end. גם הבינוניות היא מידה בנפש. כלומר, האדם הזה מתייחס אל הרע ואל הטוב מבלי שתהיה לו בנפשו הזדהות עם אחד מהם. מידתו של הבינוני היא מידה של חוסר הזדהות. His lack of definition who he is. He's torn between different words. And we are all affected from different words, and this is how it has to be. But we have to have a vision, we have to have clarity, we have to stand and know that every environment and every day will be different. Therefore, when I want to speak about the process of tshuva, I'm saying there are attitudes of life, and soon we will come to attitude about mitzvot and avirot. Attitude of life is the question, do you have clarity for your mission? Is it clear to you that you are an ambassador of Hashem? You are a Ramon. You are Mekadesh Shem Shammai. Everyone has to do it in a different way. I'm only speaking about the common that is here between all the people as being Mekadesh Shem Shammai. How to do it must be differently, but even that you should know how you want to do it. In order to come to be Tzadik Gamur. And then it's clear why Hashem will continue and give you all the power that you need because you continue to do what He asked for you for. You continue to do the thing that you were born. You continue to do your job. So He wanted. So He will give you not only life, but He will give you all the tools. The Rambam says how to come to be from a Beinoni to Tzaddik. Someone that was a Beinoni in Rosh Hashanah and want to be a Tzaddik. He says, you must be Chozer B'Tshuva. Ask the Kochvei Or, ask some other people. Let's say he's not Chozer B'Tshuva, but he makes a lot of mitzvahs. He's learning the whole week. He comes to yeshiva. Why that won't make him to be a Tzaddik Gamur? Says Rav Hutner, it's clear. Because you still can be torn and do mitzvot, but it doesn't change that you are torn, it doesn't change that you don't have a vision. Therefore the Rambam, because it doesn't go according to numbers, it doesn't make a difference if you're adding few mitzvot. The main thing, if you are changing your attitude about life, please see with me the last line in the Pachaditzvot. והמידה הזאת תעמוד בעינה ובתוקפה, אפילו אם יתווספו לו כמה זכויות. That character of being torn won't change even if he's doing few זכויות in this week. Because the attitude can continue only if he's doing few mitzvot. This boy that tells me that in yeshiva he thinks A and ben azman he thinks B learns a lot. But he still didn't bite and he still had a confusion about who he is, his identity. So he will continue to be a Beinoni even when he learned in yeshiva. Therefore the way to come from a Beinoni to a Tzaddik is to change your attitude. And therefore before we run to make a vidui, before we run to say tefillot and slichot, not that we don't have to do it, but it's not enough. We have mainly to sit with ourselves and to think, what is my attitude about life? Why do I live? What do I want to accomplish in life? How do I want to educate my kids? What is the environment that I want to give? And I said before, I think that education is not telling them what to do. Education is creating an environment that they themselves we want to do it. Every time when a boy comes to me and asks a question, if it's a question in halacha, I will tell him what to do. If it's a question about life, I have a lot of boys, when they date, they come with the girls and so on, I will never tell him stop or continue. I will give him a number of questions after I met both of them together that I want him to think about this question that came to me and according to that, he should decide. So what we did till now, we explained, A, what is being decided in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, life, death, and the power that you are going to get. Look, please, in the Sfat Emet, the Gemara says that Hashem sees you in your Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What does it mean that He sees you? Says the Sfat Emet, we'll see only a few words, Nitan Chayut Lekol Echad. He's giving you life, not only life or death, but He's giving you the power, giving you the energy. He's giving you the tools that you need to complete and continue your job this year. And according to how much your mission is clear, you're getting more tools. As much as your mission is not clear, you're getting less tools. And therefore, the main thing that we have to think in these days is about our mission. And are we succeeding to do our mission? So we explained what is Tzadik Gamur. We explained what is Rasha Gamur, someone that has a vision that's against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we explained what is a Beinoni, someone that is torn, someone that's being influenced by society, someone that thinks one day A and one day B. Influences by different forces, doesn't have a stability, doesn't have a direction, doesn't have a way. Therefore, what Hashem asks you is, do you have a clear vision? This is the din. This is what Hashem asks you. Do you understand what is your job and you want to continue it? If you say yes without understanding what it is, then the yes doesn't have a meaning. If you understand the direction, you understand the clarity, you understand how you want to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and you say yes, then you are Tzadik Gamur and Niftam Lechayim. And as we said, still Tzadikim will die when they accomplish their job after what is being decided from the beginning, X year that they will live. This is first part about attitude about life. Can I go to the next part? Attitude of Torah and Mitzvot. Mitzvot and Avirot, is there any questions till now, please? Is it okay to continue another 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or you want to stop here? And we'll do only the first part. No, really, if it's too long, I will stop here. So, with your permission, I hope it won't be more than 10 minutes. We have, our life is really not the oraita. We are living a lot of dinim of the Rabbana. Take any subject that you want. Take meat and milk. Meat the oraita, it's only cooking together milk and meat. Even if you cook together chicken and milk, you're not over the oraita. Chazal came and said, both chicken and both not only cooking, even eating. Wait 6 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, everyone according to him, minag. See how they went so far. Even chicken and to wait. We are going according to yeshiva, according to the poskim that says that you have to wait five and something. So we have lunch at 1:30, and we have supper at 7:30. But till they finish lunch, it's not 6 hours, it's 5.5. I got few emails from parents, said, there are makpid at home in 6 hours, please be sure that he will have powder, and he will take the milk for later on. So he's getting two portions in the same time, because he's tzaddik, he's makpid on 6 hours. I said, no problem. I don't want to change your minhagim at home. I'll take care of that. Take Shabbos. The whole dinim of muktzah is the Rabbana. Midoraita, you don't have a problem to arrange your drawers on Shabbos. You don't have a problem to move a radio, to move electricity things. Everything is the Rabbana. And like that, we can continue to every subject. Why Rabbanan made so many chumros, so many halchakot, so many dinim? The simple understanding is that you won't come to the right. If you don't know the difference between chicken and meat, and you will cook chicken and milk, you will think that you can cook meat and milk too. So the first reason is simply practical. To be sure that he won't come to the right. Says Rav Kook, but there is another reason. Please see in the second part, Ein Haya, line number 3. Omnam yesh beze od kavana shniya. Shari yesod yirat Hashem vekiyuma shel Torah. תלוי באיכות ציור רוממות ערכם של דברי תורה בליבו של אדם. והנה כשאדם נזהר בעצמו, לבלי להכניס עצמו למצב שיש איזה חשש שיבוא לעבור הדבר תורה מן התורה, זאת הזהירות בעצמה חוקקת בליבו רושם חזק, כמה גדול הוא ערכה של שמירת התורה, וכמה רב הוא ההפסד בעבירת דבר אחד מהתורה, שרי אפילו להיכנס במצב שיש איזה חשש שיבוא לעבור הדבר מהתורה, הוא מרחיק את עצמו, כמו שאדם מרחיק את עצמו מחשש סכנת נפשו, וכמו שהוא שומר מכל משמר אוצר יקר ונחמד, שגם מחשש רחוק של עיבודו הוא מגן עליו. ולהפך, כשאדם נכנס במצב כזה שהוא עלול לעבור על דבר תורה, אף על פי שיזהר ולא יעבור, מכל מקום מרשים דבר זה בעצמו איזו ירידה של ערך קיום התורה בכלל. Says Rav Kook, you know why Chazal made so many yisur? Not only that practically you will make an avera. They made it to explain to you how if you do avera, you are losing so much. How your attitude should be that avera is like poison. No one of us is putting poison in the refrigerator and writing on this poison. Because we are afraid that the kid won't, no one take. So we will put poison because it's such a bad thing, and we will put it 10 times godly with it. A man that is afraid that the thief will come to his apartment and leave his apartment on Shabbos. If he has things that are not so important, he won't guard them so much. He will put them in the drawer. If he has things that are very expensive, he will be sure 10 guardians in order that the thief won't find it. The reason why Chazal made so many harchakot, so many dinim, is not only that practically you won't do it, but to teach you how you are going to lose a lot of your connection to Hashem if you are doing an avera. And how much you will gain so much if you will do mitzvah. So when I'm coming to the second part, I think the first part that I spoke is mainly Til Rosh Hashanah, when we speak about being a melech and we have to be his ambassador. And the second part is really toward Yom Kippur, when we make a viduim and we speak about specific avirot and mitzvot. I will compare it to the same mashal that I gave, if someone is being appointed to be an ambassador. And he has 40 days to prepare himself, and after 40 days, he will have a test. And the foreign officer will decide, minister will decide, A, if he's going to be an ambassador, and B, how much he's going to give him, a house, a salary, and so on. Imagine what this man will prepare in the 40 days. A, he will work, he will understand the philosophy, and what he have to answer, and how he represent Israel in his behavior, in his speech, in his way. He will be asked, why we don't go back to the 67... Gvulot, land, and you have to give an answer, and other things about the policy in Israel. And you have to know all that, and to understand the to be a representative of Hashem, the representative of the country. And the second part, he will work with his weaknesses. If he doesn't know enough good English, he will take immediately an ulpan to brush his English. If he doesn't know to be enough representative, he will take a course how to be representative. And so on and so on. I remember when I was a child, my uncle Simcha Raz, that wrote the book of Ich Tzadik Haya about Rabbi Levin and other books about Rav Kook and so on, he gave for a month a course to people that have to be working for the foreign office, to be ambassadors and other things, and so on. And I remember that he came to my parents. I was a small child, but I remember that story. He told them that one night there was a whole cakes and so on in the course that he gave. And in the middle there was הפסקת חשמל for half an hour. When the light came back, everyone that with his finger took something, they took him out of being an ambassador. Okay? So the second part is to work on your weaknesses. That's mitzvahs and averos, to work on our averos in order to come to be an ambassador. And before we go to specific avera, what is your attitude about averos? Do you really see it as losing $1 million? Do you really get the head of Chazal that make all these things not only that practically you want, they want to educate you. To educate you that you should see that as poison, you should see that as something that you lose so much, and therefore you are being guarded so much because it's a treasure. Mitzvah is a treasure, and Avirah is a poison. And I think the second question that we have to ask ourselves, first question was attitude about life. Do I really feel ambassador? Do I really feel that my job is to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim? And the second part is, what is my attitude about mitzvot and averot? Do I really feel that running to mitzvah is making a treasure? When I go to sleep that night, after I did mitzvot, I really can say to myself, wow, I did the job of today, I did mitzvot. And when if I chas b'shalom will do avirot, what happens when you go to sleep? Do you really feel that you missed life? You really feel that you got far from Hashem? So I feel that sometimes we are running too fast, too specific and making a vidui, but this is only after we understand what is our attitude to mitzvot and avirot. The Nefesh HaChaim and the Ramchal explain that really Hashem could born us immediately to Olam Haba. But He wanted that we would buy Olam Haba by doing mitzvot and averot. And this is part of our job of being ambassador is by, it's like a phone to the Kadosh Baruch. Like ambassador is making a phone to the people that send him every day. To give him direction. The Kuzarian, with this I'll finish. I was asked by one community, they called me, and this story I will finish. And they told me that they feel that in their community there is no enough of learning Torah and Kiyum Mitzvot. And someone wanted to do a yahrzeit, and he asked me if I can come and speak in his community about the importance of doing mitzvot and averot. I was very hesitating. I don't like to come to people that I don't know and start to speak about things and so on. But he begged me, and I felt that this is part of my mission. I said, okay. I came to that city in Israel. The house was packed with people. I think there were 50, 60 people. He spoke. We learned Mishnayot, and then I was asked to speak about attitude of Torah and Mitzvot. Learning Torah and being Mekayem Mitzvot. I asked them to what they want to compare it. If they take Mitzvot, what they want to compare it, something that they know, an object, air conditioner, car, what they want to compare it. And I asked everyone in the room to speak, so I got 50 answers. I won't do it now. One answer I got, I remember they compared it to a belt of a car. It caused you not to fall. It caused you to stay who you are. The other answer that I got is like a uniform of a pilot. Something that represents who you are. Some people want to compare it to a flag. I remember even someone wanted to compare it to an elevator. After they made all their things, I asked how many doctors there are here. There were a lot of doctors in the room. I said, I have a surprise for you. The Kuzari compared it for a medicine. Let's go. Explain to me why. I waited for 10 minutes. There was quiet in the room. No one said a word. I tell them, I want to explain to you why it's similar to a medicine.
A medicine is changing something in the blood. Dr. Feder can explain more. But it's changing something in the blood and coming to be healthy. When you do Torah and mitzvot, it changes the balance in your body between spirituality and materialism. We have chelak eloka mimal, but it's very, very small. It's like in prison. When we do Torah and mitzvot, that chelak come to be more dominant, and therefore you feel more connection to Hashem. It affects you. It's not only for this minute. It's effective. And therefore it's a treasure. Because you are closer to Hashem, if I'm connecting the two parts of today's shiur, it helps you more to understand your vision. If you do Averot, you are far from Hashem, you have the wrong eyeglasses, you can't come to your right vision. And therefore, mitzvot are treasure, and Averot are the opposite. These are mainly, I think, the two processes of tshuva. Attitude about life. Do I really feel that I'm ambassador of Hashem? Attitude in generally about mitzvot and averot, as Rav Kook explained why there are so many halchakot, not only that in practically it won't happen, but to educate yourself. It's like a gun. Averot like a gun. A gun, you have five things that will cause you not to shoot by mistake, because it's so terrible if you shoot by mistake. It's like a diamond that you put five covers that no one will touch and no one, because it's a treasure. These have to be our attitude when we come to Hashem. We have to tell him in Yom Kippur, we want to live, we want to continue our mission, we have a clear vision what our mission is to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. We know how I want to do it. I, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, everyone in his way. And I want to be close to you. And being close to you is by learning Torah and making mitzvot, because it's a treasure and it makes my neshama bigger, and therefore I come to be closer to you. May we all be zocher in these days to prepare ourselves, because Yom Kippur without preparation, very hard to come to these things that I'm saying. It's easy to say them, but it's hard to really be that it will be part of it. And the main thing, both in education, both in yeshiva, both about life, is not what you say, but you really feel what really is part of you, what you are really choveh. If someone can help me to be metargem that word to English. Ma shani choveh befnim, lo ma shani medaber. Sorry, you can translate it, or someone can help me.
Experience.
Sorry?
What you experience.
Right. What I really experience inside myself. We should be zocher to experience that. We should be zocher to focus that in these days. Again, thank you to Yossi that arranged everything, and to Dr. Pelay. I think this is a big zchut to the grandfather of Sarah, David Meir ben Arav Shmuel, that the shiur was this. All of us will be zocher Bezrat Hashem, the big basket that everything is inside, every day to take out, to really have life full of Simchat Torah, full of Ahava Torah, full of Dveikut Baboreh, v'nichatem kulanu besifram shel tzadikim gmurim.
Amen.